This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and we're brought to you by the Vodoliak Law Group, fighting insurance companies since 1963, and BetChicago.com, your source for all of Chicago's sports and betting news.
This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
This is the National Football League. You got a bunch of owners who inherit the teams, who are members of the Lucky Sperm Club, who are trying to negotiate in 2018 high-tech type of agents. And I just think Ted Phillips and Ryan Pace are overmatched. And I think it's bad for the whole football team. And it's a cloud that hangs over the head of the Bears and Matt Nagy and what they want to do. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before you even laid the bet down. So you got to be positive. The people that really scare me, the people that can walk in those electric carts. And they go to the slot machine and sit on them. And then they forget that they're supposed to be, you know, crippled from the waist down. Have a bear standing with a towel in his hands, rubbing his crotch. Bear ball washer. What you got to really try to do is money manage and only bet one or two games on a Sunday. That's what we'll be doing on Bear Barroom.
You're listening to the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now.
That's right, the Mike North Advantage begins right now, right here on Mixlr.com every Friday morning at 9 a.m. and available on your podcast late Friday morning. My name is Aldo Gandia. I am Mike's wingman, and we are going to talk about Terrell Owens, the San Francisco 49ers, Walter Payton, maybe get a little Bulls and Blackhawks talk in there. And, of course, we're going to talk about the Chicago Bears, Mitch Trubisky, and get his picks for the week. He is 22-8-2 versus the spread this season. It is time to make some more money. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
What's going on, Aldo? This is the time of our lives. Good morning, yesterday. The great Paul Anka sang that song. It doesn't get any better than this. What's happening, my friend?
Well, I'll tell you, I was watching a football game last night. They called it a football game, but that was kind of a bizarre sight. Did you see that thing?
Of course I saw it. Your number one handicapper in the country gets it done again.
Yay!
Ladies and gentlemen, he takes the San Francisco 49ers. You can get our picks. My whole trough of picks, if you will, in the Chicago Sun-Times. And when you look at the Chicago Sun-Times, you will see this morning, when you go by it, with the great Mark Potash and the great Mark Silverman, my pals, that last week I was 6-8. Well, Mark was 8-6, and Mark Potash, it is, and Mark Silverman was 8-6. So now, Sylvie is 54-60-7. Mark is 53-61-7, both good weeks. I was 6-8, but I'm 65-49-7. And last night I took the 49ers for the game. And what's scary is the quarterback couldn't play, but that wasn't announced till late.
Yeah.
And I had already made my 49er pick. But I decided once the 49ers were minus 2.5, and as soon as they announced Nick Mullins was going to play quarterback, it went to Oakland, minus 2, that was a 4-point swing. That's a big swing, but then you had a quarterback with no experience whatsoever in the National Football League. But I rolled San Francisco last night. I'm back on the winning beam as I go 1-0 with my pick last night.
Mike, I like to pride myself on knowing who's coming into the National Football League, especially since we've been doing this barroom stuff and focusing on football. And I got to admit, I had never heard of Nick Mullins until last night. Who is this kid? Where did he come from?
Well,
he looked like a superstar out there.
Well, I'll give you exactly what he is. And this is the reason he looked like a superstar. And by the way, I'm on the Mitch Trubisky bandwagon. We'll discuss that down the
line.
Oh, yeah. But here's the difference. When people go to me, Mike, how can, and there's Bear fans this morning waking up saying, boy, that Mullins looked better or as good as Trubisky's ever looked or as good as this guy's ever looked or that guy's ever looked. You know why? He started 44 games in college, folks. Trubisky started 13. I don't know how else to put that to you. How much experience going to law school for 4 years compared to going to law school for 1 year. That's exactly what we're talking about here. Now, you can have the one-year law school student maybe end up in the Supreme Court and do whatever, but there's no doubt in my mind that when you play 44 games compared to 13 for our guy, it's no wonder he looked more polished in his first game than sometimes Mitch does, even now, even though Mitch has progressed nicely. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And Johnny Santucci in the chat room says, also remember that he was playing the Raiders. So that helped a little bit.
Well, yeah, but will John say they were playing the Jets? Talking about the Bears?
Sure.
You know, we could cherry pick all we want. It doesn't matter. Nobody thought he was going to do that, including him. I don't think Tooch went, hey, guess what? They're playing the Raiders, and they got a first-year quarterback, San Francisco. I'm going to put 1,000 on the 49ers. That, I guarantee you, did not happen last night. So hindsight is always good. What were you saying before the game? Because I'll tell you this, last night, a lot of people had the Raiders.
Yeah, it's very true. Now, I got to ask you.
Don't you like when I just shut people down and I make a reasonable argument? That's what debate's all about.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. I hate that song. The hokey pokey sucks. Let's just go on.
Every time it plays at a wedding, I go outside and
put your left foot in. I don't like nobody telling me what to do when I'm dancing. You put your left foot in, I'm going.
All right. What about Terrell Owens? Did he put his foot in his mouth at all yesterday? And what were your thoughts about him not attending the Hall of Fame ceremonies? I've been dying
to
ask.
Well, what did Terrell Owens say? Tell everybody what he said.
Well, he said that. I don't know what he said. He said that he didn't regret not going to the Hall of Fame, and that he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. He felt disrespected by the Hall of Fame. He should have been in earlier. That his numbers and stats tell the story, and he got welled up. You know, Terrell cries at the drop of a hat. And
well, it's an old story, basically, in my opinion. But you know what? If the guy doesn't want to go and he has a party for himself, with his people and his friends, that's fine. I went to award ceremonies. I won awards where 90% of the crowd wanted me to lose. So I exactly know what he's talking about. There's no doubt he would have had as many enemies as friends at the Hall of Fame induction. He's free to do what he wants, but I do happen to believe he'll regret what he did someday. He could have been up there with some great, great players, some people that have carried the tradition of the National Football League. Jerry Rice was there. Kurt Warner is there. You know, the nonsense that came out in the Hall of Fame induction ceremony this year from Eric Dickerson, we need more help for the players, you know, the nonsense that got into that. It became more political this year. I wasn't turned on by it, to be honest with you. Terrell Owens was a cancer on most of the teams he played on. I know he had great stats, but I'm always befuddled by people that think and look at his numbers like that was the only thing, Aldo. That counts. I mean, you could look at numbers, but also he destroyed football teams from within.
Well, and that's debatable. Some people think that he didn't, but I'm with you. I mean, I think he deserves to be in the Hall, but I'm with you in that some of the antics and stuff and doing setups.
Well, when you're calling out your quarterback on the Philadelphia Eagles,
yeah.
Donovan McNabb, you know, it's a private fraternity. It really is the National Football League. And there's no doubt, I remember when that happened, it cast a pall on McNabb, you know, saying that he was throwing up in the huddle. He's also had problems with his other teams that he's been on. So, I mean, I'm not making it up. You could debate all you want about Terrell Owens. He has been a cancer on football teams, no doubt. He could have played on the same team for as long as his career lasted, sort of like Jerry Rice, but he had a problem. It was about him, me, I, just like Chad Johnson. Same thing. They were the same. I mean, basically, when it comes to it's all about me, and we're seeing receivers doing that today, and their teams usually aren't all that good.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, receivers, I think it's a personality trait for most receivers to be, you know, have that diva DNA in them. And with Terrell Owens, it was that DNA ran really strong.
I don't see that with Adam Thielen. I didn't see it with Jerry Rice. I didn't see it with Johnny Morris way back in the day, Frank. I see receivers that did their job. Mm-hmm. Kelvin Johnson, great receivers. So I don't buy it. I think that there's selfishness. There's no doubt in the receiver position. When did that become the only position to be concerned about? Receivers are always going to want the ball. This is why they're never going to win in New York with Odell Beckham, because he's a cancer. Do you think it's one thing to be a great receiver? It's another thing to be a great receiver and a distraction. And I think that's what they got in New York.
Yeah, interesting point. All right,
makes a lot of sense. It sort of stops you in your tracks. I know that.
You know
what I mean,
Mike? When you win a debate, I just stop and listen in awe. In awe. Total awe.
I love that word, awe. Reminds me of Richard Harris in the movie Tombstone. In awe.
I don't think I saw that one.
The Unforgiven. The Unforgiven, when Curly kicked his ass in the middle of the street.
There you go. That's the one. Unforgiven. That's
the one. Hey, I get my Westerns mixed up. You know what I'm saying. I'm getting at that age.
You're still the only one in America that's watching Westerns, right? Nobody watches Westerns anymore.
Westerns. I watch it's a destination television, the Western Channel. A little rawhide,
there
a little bonanza.
There you go. Gunsmoke. All right, I want to talk about Mitch Trubisky because this week, and you can check out the video at bearsbarroom.com. It's part of Mike's video series that he does for the website. We call it The Edge, Mike North, The Edge, and he puts it up on Twitter. Mike made the announcement that he's turned the corner on Mitch Trubisky. Why don't you share with us what it is about Mitch Trubisky that has convinced you that he is somebody we Bears fans should get behind and not question him as much as perhaps some of us have?
Well, here's what I would say. First of all, to the people out there on Twitter and on social media, we appreciate all your comments. Here's what I'm going to tell the people to say, it's about time you came over, and you know what, I knew it all along. You're all morons who loved Cutler, and I stayed off Cutler for 8 years. Okay? So let me just state that for everybody out there. Most of the people who were directing, sort of like ire for me, having to see something, observing, which I got paid millions of dollars to do over a 25-year span, and me coming over to Trubisky, you should cheer that. You shouldn't criticize me, because you're the same dopes that for 8 years, even at Bears Barroom, some people, that believed in a loser. Trubisky's not a loser. You can call him a lot of other things. You can say he's inaccurate, just like Jay Cutler. He was. But here's one or two or three or four or five things he has that Cutler never had. Character, will to win, will to work, will to get better, a smarter front office that wasn't going to get a mop bucket, another 3-year extension, a guy that doesn't take anything for granted, a guy that dresses up like Mike Ditka before a game.
That was pretty awesome.
Is loose as hell. That's probably what turned me immediately, that he understands the tradition of the Bears. Nagy understands the division. I got another one. I'm going to get a Danny Trevathan jersey. Danny Trevathan already understands what home field advantage is, and there have been many Bear teams in the past. Wanstead, Tressman, Fox. They wouldn't understand Bear tradition if it hit them in the ass. So Matt Nagy, to me, has instilled that into the players, and I love it. And Trubisky, to me, isn't afraid to run with the football. Cutler was. Isn't afraid to sometimes throw into a crowd, but he won't see it coming. Cutler saw him coming and would inexplicably throw into the double teams. So this is a kid that wants to get better, where the other guy, he's the antithesis. He's the opposite. If Jay Cutler would have been everything this guy is as far as personality and will to win, he would have probably gone to the playoffs 2, 3, 4, 5 times, because I don't see Mitch Trubisky with receivers like Bennett, with receivers like Brandon Marshall, and he's getting the job done.
I want to play a little audio for you and our listeners. Showtime and the NFL.
Was that a little wordy?
No, it wasn't at all. It was perfectly stated.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Got my confidence back.
NFL Films caught Matt Nagy talking to Mitch Trubisky right before the start of the second half. And then I've butted together Mitch's comments on what Nagy told him. Take a listen to this, and then I want you to comment.
I'm going to challenge you right now, these two quarters, for greatness.
Yes, sir.
You got me?
Got you.
I want to see it come out of you right here.
Yes, sir.
You take this thing over right now.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go.
Processing that back, what did that mean to you at the time, that challenge, and the way you responded to it?
Every single snap in every single game, I mean, really every single week, you're striving for greatness. But I think when you just pulled me aside and really, like, I mean, I think it really just honed me in, made me focus a lot more, and just made me that more motivated to just focus in and do what I had to do to help the offense and really get us going. And I got so much respect and love for Coach that, I mean, he just said it, and I need to make it happen. So I played a little bit better the second half, but that I'm trying to be consistent. That's what I'm trying to do all the time, but it definitely means a lot coming from him.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, how can you go against a guy like this, number one? And I saw that. A little exchange and stuff like that. That's where Nagy's got it. Here's the thing that I liked about last week's football game. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn in the first half, I thought. I thought he basically struggled in the first half. I thought the play calling was decent. In fact, I thought it was above average. Then he gave him that challenge, and the sign of a guy that wants to learn and doesn't sit on a bench by himself with his stocking cap over his eyes and act like a mope. The sign of greatness is somebody that wants to. You can't be great unless you want to be great. You can collect money, you can be this, or you can be that. You got to decide, do you want to be great? And I think this Trubisky kid with Nagy is the right marriage, and I'm going to give Ryan Pace and everybody from Ted Phillips on down a little pat on the back.
Wow.
Because I'm with this guy now. Because I'm going to tell you something. I could keep bringing up that, you know what, we could have had Mahomes. I could keep bringing up we could have had my guy, Watson. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that won't do us any good now. What I think I'm seeing is what maybe Pace saw. We still are out to lunch on this, but I fully expect Trubisky to keep getting better because he gives a damn. He cares, and I think that's 90% of the battle.
Boy, your comments there, giving credit to Ted Phillips on down.
Well, when you see, look it. When you get kicked, when you're kicking a guy in, look, Ted Phillips has been my personal whipping boy for 25, 26 years. It's been too easy. It's been too easy. The McCaskies have been my personal whipping boys and girls for 25 years. More. It's been too easy. So when they finally get something right, if you're great at what you do, and if you don't have a problem with calling somebody right, they're not proving me wrong by being right one time in the last 20 years. They're proving me right for this moment, and I give them credit for that.
Yeah, I think what we should be giving Ted Phillips credit for is that it, by all accounts, it really does look like he has stepped aside from all football operations and has total trust in Ryan Pace to make decisions. And so that's what I applaud, because I think that
what was scaring me, though, Aldo, was scaring me is he was involved in the coaching search, and he had hit duds. That's what scared me. So
absolutely.
When you say he stepped aside, that's fine, but he didn't step aside for the two main things that he had failed at so many times, picking a GM and picking a head coach. He was involved, and so you got to give credit.
Yep.
Now he stepped aside because he's made the right move.
All right, now I want to change to a very controversial.
I like when you just move on. It's like an education.
We got to keep the train moving. Yeah. This is a locomotive.
Listen to my guy like the Metra.
Better than the Metra. I want to talk a little bit about this kicker by the name of Cody Parkey, who is a enemy of Shane Marsaw, the smartest man in the bar room, who, by the way, is in the chat room today. He has a day off. He's taking care of Riley, his son, who's a little under the weather. Hopefully, Riley, you're feeling great. But Shane has been really upset with this whole Cody Parkey thing. He was just dubious about investing so much money into this kid. He's traveled around the NFL and stuff. This is what Chris Tabor, the special teams coach, said about Parkey's troubles at kicking at Soldier Field. Listen to this.
You know, each day is different. I think it'd be a little bit like if you were going to golf and at the British Open. You know, some days it's going to be nice out there, and then other days you get out on the tee box and the wind's blowing all over the place. You just have to play what the conditions are that day. That's where he's really strong at. He's mentally, he doesn't overthink things. You know, in his warm-up there, I mean, we started the line here, and then next kick, all of a sudden a big gust right when he kicked the ball, and then it pushed it left or pushed it right. It's just you have to trust your line, hit a good ball, make good contact, and then what Mother Nature does with it, you have to live with.
I won that bet. I told some of my friends here that you would start snoring at about the 24-second
mark. Oh, my God. Can these guys answer in a sentence or two?
No, they can't. Absolutely not.
I mean, that's what Nagy does. Nagy's pretty quick. The other guys are a bunch of, like, let's do a paragraph on why our guy sucks.
They never get a chance to talk. That's why.
Listen, let me just say this about the Bears Barroom, number one. All the great shows out there. Shane's show with Dr. Phil. You know, I mean, Shane being the smartest guy in the bar room was like me being the valedictorian of my summer school class, to be straight up about it. Okay? No, I just kid. I kid. I love those guys and all the great shows on the bar room. He's absolutely right. And here's when I called it. I called it when they got rid of Robbie Gould. I don't care how long ago it was. Mm-hmm. When they got rid of Robbie Gould because he had a $3 million price tag, I went through the roof. I'm sorry, at the time. Regardless of here's what the Bears had a pattern of doing. As soon as one of our good players struggle for a year, let's get rid of him. Okay? So he struggles. But you got to know the trend. And you got to know how good the guy is. And the guy did maybe have not a bad wheel. Maybe there's something he wasn't complaining about. Maybe there's something we didn't know. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Since they got rid of him, I think he's missed 3 field goals. He made, last night, he's only missed one. I saw when he kicked the field goal last night right through the middle. He was like 15 of 16. Okay, so what I'm going to tell everybody is that's where it began. And now you compound the problem by bringing in a kicker who I agree with Shane is not worth the dough and is going to be shuttled along sooner or later. His history suggests that, period. I didn't say that Ryan Pace was right on every decision.
No, absolutely.
But they're going to regret the Robbie Gould thing. Robbie Gould last night, I watched him. He looks the same. Sorry, he had a bad year. Just like Ditka had a bad year in 92. But they didn't want to give him another chance because he might have turned it around like he did the year before when he was 10-6. That's what they do. Get him at the weak point. Get him out. There was no reason for that. That was a bad move to get rid of Gould.
Well, or
Gould or whatever that.
Robbie Gould,
yeah. Out the same now.
Well, one of the good points I think that Shane made when he brought up the whole Cody Parkey thing on last week's Bears 100 Proof is that
I love that show.
Oh my gosh! If you've got 3 hours,
you better
know
your football if you're going to listen tonight.
You better. Absolutely. That I've learned so much from those two guys. I just sit back and listen to them, and then I pretend like I know what they're talking about.
Then you come on with me and screw everything up. I understand.
That's the way it goes.
I'm kidding. You know I kid you.
Oh,
you
are
Aldo Gandia.
You remember to put the A at the end. Thank you.
Always. I haven't left it off lately.
Yes, you're on a streak.
You're on a streak of A's.
But Shane says, why isn't this kid, this Cody Parkey kid, why isn't he at Soldier Field every day kicking? Why is he over at Hallis Hall, wherever that is, in Lake Forest or wherever? Why is he there kicking when he should be over at Soldier Field learning the winds and all that stuff? Isn't that a great point?
Well, yeah, and the Bears used to do that. I mean, you know, Butler would come in and kick at Soldier Field because they practice in Lake Forest. And before that, and let me just say this to the Chicago Bear organization. Just put the tag on me because the unofficial Bear historian sounds good. But just throw the check my way, and I'll give everybody an education in the history of Chicago Bear football as the official historian. 6 figures. Please. Anyway, here's what I would say. Mm-hmm. When the Bears played at Wrigley Field, they practiced there too. They didn't have Lake Forest. So Matt Percival, Bob Jenks, Roger LeClaire, all the kickers that kicked for the Bears when they played at Wrigley Field before 1970, kicked there. So they knew the wins. And we won some games every so often with Matt Percival or these guys kicking a ball. Roger LeClaire hit some big field goals for us in 1963. I hazard to think what would happen. I'll tell you how archaic the NFL was before 1965. You want to hear a good one, folks?
Sure.
Me and my buddies, I used to deliver papers for the Chicago American.
Wow.
And I take it easy, okay? I'll give you George Morwow's coming up. You think I'm done with that? Wow. Wait to hear this.
Were you riding a horse?
George Halas was one of the people I delivered to at the Pink Building on Lakeshore Drive in Hollywood. Oh. Does everybody remember the Edgewater Beach Hotel? Well, there's a place next to it that was the Edgewater Beach Apartments. George S. Halas lived there. His parish was St. Edas, which was on Broadway by Bryn Mawr. Okay, that's where he was laid to rest, by the way. His funeral was. But when Wrigley Field was being used, I got word that they were practicing on Lakeshore Drive by Montrose. You know that big area where they play soccer?
Yeah, yeah.
By Montrose Hill?
Mm-hmm.
The Bears practiced there. The Chicago Bear organization practiced on Lakeshore Drive, but nobody knew for the most part. So we found out, we went there, we couldn't go really close, but we saw them. It was unbelievable. In a public park, I kid you not. Plus, they used to practice at Morton East. Mm. It might have been Morton West, I forget. Inside, in a high school gym. That's how far now, with these beautiful, spacious places they have now, practice facilities, they've come in 50 years.
Yeah, it's an incredible story. I'm actually writing an article about George Halas, and he was a great innovator in many respects, but there are certain things...
N-O-R-T-H, and you can put the D for my middle name if you'd like.
You hear that, you folks over at the Chicago Bears? Mike North is available to be your historian. Isn't Bob
Verdi... Figures.
Bob Verdi does it for the Blackhawks, right? Is he still doing that?
Good old... You know what? He should. God, Bob Verdi knows the Blackhawks.
Oh my
he
gosh,
knows
yeah.
the Blackhawks almost as well as I know the Chicago Bear football organization from top to bottom and the history of it.
We're going to start a
campaign. Look, I'll do it for $200,000. Just throw the money. Send the check. Eldo will be my agent. He gets 10%. You know,
sounds good.
That's fine. Eldo, push it. See what we can get.
We're going to start a campaign at Bears Barroom on Twitter.
No, don't do that. That's fine. As soon as they hear about it, they'll pretend they didn't hear about it.
That's right. You think the McCaskey family still holds a grudge towards you?
Absolutely. The Bears still hold a grudge against me because I called it like it was, and I still do. I mean, you know what? Cutler, what? By me not being on radio during the major parts of his career, I was at Fox Sports Radio, which was national.
Right.
But Chicago didn't have an outlet, but I was on in L.A., Boston, 220 affiliates. But by me not being in Chicago, he really had a honeymoon because he doesn't know what would have hit him had I still been on. Thankfully, I was doing national radio at the time, and he got a honeymoon here. He really did from the media. There's no doubt about it. He didn't go through any kind of really harsh treatment, I thought, and he would have. He's lucky it wasn't 1992. He would have never made it for 3 years. They would have had to get rid of him. That's how influential that station was back then. Now it's a library.
That would have been awesome to hear you and Cutler going.
I'm just telling you right now.
It would have been awesome.
I was there, and I'm here now, and I hear.
It would have been
didn't
awesome.
Take much criticism. For a guy that had an 8-year run here, and making, what, one playoff? That guy, they kissed his ass. I mean, some of these writers, if you ask them what his ball smelled like, they tell you probably peanut butter.
Oh!
I mean, come on.
We move on.
Sorry, is that against the Catholic code or whatever the hell it is?
No, we love it here at the bar room.
Yeah.
All right, that's the music that tells us it is time for Mike North's NFL Picks.
You think that will resonate?
I think so.
Hey, I can hear the music. You know, sometimes I go, Aldo, is the music on? And he goes, yeah, the music's on. Don't worry about it. Well, I'll tell you what. I can hear the music. I can hear music. God bless Brian Wilson. Anyway, Bet Chicago. That's our guy.
Yes.
They're always running free contests, but this week they're offering a special one tied to the Bears. If you go perfect 666, you'll win a share of 10 grand. Let's go! Let's get it done! If you haven't done so already, download the Bet Chicago app or visit betchicago.com. Click on contest, try your luck. And in addition to contest, Bet Chicago is the best sports betting and fantasy content in town. Check them out for insights from Las Vegas odds makers, expert research and analysis, and lots more. That is Bet Chicago. Now it's time for my picks. Brought to you by the fine folks at the Vrdoljak Law Group, Chicago and Nashville law firm that has been fighting insurance companies since 1963. Oh, Pete Vrdoljak had a nice little picture out there today on Twitter. Check it out, of his dad, Ed Sr., my guy. And then, of course, Dennis Farina, Chet Kopic, and Jim Belushi. Nice little picture up there. I might have to put a picture of me up with Eddie and a couple other people that people will remember up a little bit later on. Tag it to Bears Barroom and have some fun.
Awesome.
The Vrdoljak Law Group offers reduced fees for those in uniform, military, veterans, police, and fire. Hey, if you've been injured, call 844-4-VLG-LAW or visit them at Vrdoljak.com or get the money you deserve. That's 844-4-VLG-LAW. Now, Aldo's already left. Aldo went to McDonald's. He's back from coffee because I told him 5 minutes ago I was going to come up with the picks. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for your patience. First of all, I'm going to ride this pony. Now, last week I was 1-3. I'm 22-8-2 on Barroom, okay? I was 0-1 with my top play, which means I'm 4-3-1. While Mark Silverman is 5-3 now, and Mark Potash at 6-2, so they've had the advantage on me now. Hey, this could turn around in a heartbeat. Believe me when I tell you this. And usually, Aldo, I spend about an hour on my picks. This week, I had to spend 3 hours. It's a tough board this week. I'm going to take the Detroit Lions, plus 4.5 versus the Minnesota Vikings. The Lions just traded Golden Tate, or got rid of Golden Tate. They let him go. And there really aren't a lot of weapons for Matthew Stafford. There's no reason to take the Detroit Lions. I think the spread should be 6 or 7 at Minnesota. You're seeing what the Minnesota Vikings are doing right now, and it would be very, very easy to take this team. But the Vikings, as we speak, even though they're 4-3, they basically had trouble with the spread. Because they're 4-3. The Lions are 5-2 against the spread, so I'm going to take the Detroit Lions. Okay, my friend?
I got you down. Lions plus 4 at Minnesota.
Plus 4.5.
Plus 4.5. We need that
half. Don't go shaving points on me like you're some bookie on Laramie and Elston. Okay? My God.
I love it.
Believe me, that's why I never had a Puerto Rican bookie. That's all I'm going to tell you.
You're lucky you didn't.
By the way, for anybody that wonders if Aldo's Puerto Rican, well, what the hell would I be bringing it up for if he wasn't?
Yo soy Puerto Riqueño. How's that sound?
Whatever that means, I know I'm in trouble. All right, here we go. Redskins, minus 1.5 versus the Falcons. You know, Aldo, this is a game, a picket game. The Falcons, I don't see a lot of people that believe in the Falcons. I'm one of those guys that hasn't believed in the Falcons. And the Washington Redskins, best kept secret. I mean, you know, everybody's talking about Patrick Mahomes with the Kansas City Chiefs, right? And deservedly so. Am I right or wrong? Of course you're right, Mike.
Of course you're right.
Who's talking about the Redskins? They're 5-2.
I know.
With the guy that was at Kansas City. But he's not putting up the gaudy numbers. You know what Alex Smith does?
Wins.
He wins. He wins, except here. I just believe Matt Ryan is the better quarterback. I believe Matt Ryan will light them up. I am going to take the Atlanta Falcons plus the 1.5 versus the Washington Redskins. Okay?
Wow, that's a surprise. You had me all set up thinking you're going to take the Redskins, and all of a sudden, boom, it's the Falcons.
Yeah, you're like me when I used to take tests. They'd put the paper down, and I'd look at the nun going, I wish I wasn't here. And then he'd get a crack. Anyway, here we go. Patriots, minus 5.5 versus the Packers. This is personal, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I love it, personal.
This is personal. I mean it. I'm reading the nonsense again. Rodgers is the better quarterback. Rodgers is this. Rodgers is that. And before it was Rodgers, you know who was, Aldo?
Who?
Manny.
Oh, yes.
Manny.
Yes.
Peyton Manny. He's better than Brady.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah, he did. Look at the yards.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the yards.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, I'm not done yet. You know who was before that?
Who?
Brett Favre. Guy never misses a game. What about Brady? Sixth-round pick. Don't worry about him.
I see where you're going.
Favre. Manning. Rodgers. Once between Favre and Rodgers, the greatest quarterbacks outside of Bart Starr, those two guys have two Super Bowls in like 33 years. Okay? So let's get that out of the way. And then I see on Twitter today, Twitter. Somebody tweets me. Somebody tweets me this nonsense. That, hey, Brady said a couple years ago that Rodgers was the best quarterback in the league. And he did. You know what that's called? Graciousness.
Yeah, it's called gamesmanship.
That's what that's called. How does it sound if Tom Brady goes, I'm the best quarterback or the greatest quarterback in the league?
Of course,
okay?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound good, but if he was a wide receiver, he'd say it.
Mm-hmm.
He'd say it. Yeah. I'm the best in the league. So, here, I'll give a perfect analogy. I like Jimi Hendrix. I thought Jimi Hendrix was ahead of his time. Okay? Jimi Hendrix had a couple good songs. The guy had the national anthem, played it out of his mind. The guy was at Woodstock. You know who said that Jimi Hendrix was the greatest guitarist of all time?
Who?
Eric Clapton. Mm-hmm. You know why Eric Clapton said that?
Why did he?
Maybe he believed it. But how would it sound if he said, I'm better than the dead guy?
That would not have been good for
Reconcile. Because if we're going to go by body of work, if we're going to go by origin, if we're going to go by being alive and getting the job done at this late date, Hendrix is Gale Sayers.
Oh, yeah.
Clapton was Jim Brown. That's the end of that story.
I like that.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, Hendrix decided to die at 27. Clapton decided to live. And the guy's playing sellout audiences this day. And I'm supposed to sit there and go, yeah, Hendrix was better. We don't know what Hendrix would have become. Here's what we know he became. At the end of the day, he took drugs and died. I think there's something to longevity, just like with the Rolling Stones. And that's why Brady is the best quarterback in the league and will continue to be until somebody knocks him off. Am I right or wrong about that?
I agree with you totally. Now.
All right, so I'm taking
give me the damn pick.
I'm gonna get to the pick.
Okay.
I know you're afraid to write down Patriots, but it's the Patriots.
Oh,
my
gosh.
10 at least. By 10. By 10 here on Barroom.
Wow.
Last but not least, my pick of the week, which I've struggled. Now, here, I was 4-1 with my Thursday picks. Now I've won 4 in a row.
Unbelievable.
I've lost 2 of these main picks. Mm-hmm. I'm going for the jugular. I'm taking in the Cowboys-Titans game. The Cowboys are given 6.5 on Monday night. There's no reason for them to give any points. I don't understand why the Dallas Cowboys, you know, who have a record of 3-4, are giving the Titans, who have a record of 3-4, 6 points. You'd think it would be a 3-point game. You know what's going to happen? Cowboys are going to run up. So I got the Cowboys, the Patriots, the Falcons, and the Lions. Those are my 4 picks, and I'm pretty damn comfortable with them this week, which means hell is coming to me because I haven't felt comfortable all year. Now that I'm feeling comfortable, I'm waiting to, you know, look up and watch the anvil coming down on my head.
You know what? I love these picks, too. I might call my bookie.
You have to get one first.
Oh, that's right.
Why don't you just have share the action with somebody? Why don't you have somebody take your bets? You're not going to bet a lot.
No, that's true. But I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't want to be responsible for you having to pull out the toilets like that governor. Pull out the toilets and try to make some extra money because you can't afford it because you lost everything from gambling. Just keep doing what you're doing. You might be. I think you've jinxed me since you started talking about this. You know what I mean?
That could be. I'm
4-7-1 my last 3 weeks with my barroom picks. Of course, nobody cares, though, when you're 22-8-2. You know what? People don't go, hey, I'm 22-8-2. They don't go, oh, you got 8 losses? When did that happen? No, they just look at the 22-8-2. So, are you ready for the other picks?
I am. This is always fun. We're going to go through the entire NFL, and then your last pick is going to be the Bears game because it's not one of your top four. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, they haven't been one of my top four too much often. I think I'm 1-1 with them in my top four. Okay. All right, we're going to go with the Chiefs -8.5 at the Cleveland Browns. The Chiefs should probably be giving the Browns 20. I still like the moxie of the Cleveland Browns quarterback. I got to see some results. They just got rid of the worst coach in the history of their franchise.
He's bad.
And he shouldn't have even been hired. He's an assistant. I told Eldo that at the beginning of the year. I'm going to have him cover the spread. The Browns +8.5. The Chiefs come in. Basically, they should wipe them out by 30. They keep it within 10, and maybe the Browns get a backdoor touchdown. It's just too easy for me to take the Chiefs. I'm going to take the Cleveland Browns +8.5.
Wow.
Now, keep in mind, my record is 65-49-7. So when you tell me I'm stupid, send me what record you have, okay? That's all I want to know, okay? I don't want to get arrogant, but I got to. Okay, here we go.
All I said was, wow. That's all.
I'm bold and brazen. Ravens -3 versus the Steelers. The Steelers been playing good football, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I had the Steelers, you know, at 4-2-1. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe this might be a 500 year. You never hear about Mike Tomlin being talked about as one of the great coaches. He followed Bill Cowher. But that being said, I think the Ravens at home are going to shock the world. And when I say shock the world, really, it's not really shocking them. They're favored by 3. I like the Ravens -3. The Dolphins -3 versus the Jets. Okay. I got to be honest with you. Gaze has some issues, but he knows how to play the game. Mm-hmm. But I just think the New York Jets, they have not quit. As we saw with even the Chicago Bears. Did they look like they quit against the Bears?
No.
They were just out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's an up and down team.
They didn't look like they quit, right?
No, they didn't look like they quit. It's just an up and down team. I think one week they play good, and the next week they play awful.
I'm going to have them beating the Dolphins straight up.
Wow.
This is going to be one of the weeks they play good. I think after playing the Bears, I don't care if they're going to a really tough Miami. Tannehill is still out.
Mm-hmm.
I see that Adam Gase is still defending him, even though he's got a losing record.
Mm-hmm.
He's defending him while he's got a guy named Brock Osweiler quarterbacking. He's talking about his injured starter instead of the starter he's got. I think Darnold will progress. He's still, you know, like a young quarterback, a turnover machine at times. I do know this. I was worried about one thing. He went to USC. How many successful USC quarterbacks have there been
in the
National Football League?
None.
I
can't think of any.
I mean, Matt Leinart. Sean Salisbury was a number two, started some games.
Okay.
Now he's the successful radio host. I like Sean.
Yeah.
He'll tell you. Pat Hayden was okay for a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, Carson Palmer.
Matt Barkley.
Know,
Carson Palmer, now, there you go. This guy had a good NFL career.
He had a good NFL career, but it didn't go the way that he wanted it to go. So, you know, but we got to put him in the picture.
Absolutely.
You got to put him in the picture. So, anyway, I digress. Panthers -7 versus the Buccaneers. Okay? I'm regretting I made this pick. I just got a bad feeling. I like Fitzmagic, but the Panthers are given 7. And seeing what I saw, the Buccaneers saved my butt last week. They were getting beat bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came back with 18 unanswered points because that mop bucket of a quarterback who's got like 70 turnovers in 50 games, Jameis Winston, who should never see the field again as a starter, you know, he got replaced. So thanks God they did. I think now maybe they got a shot to make some noise because they actually got a quarterback that cares and stays out of the newspaper, you know, off the field. So, you know what? I got the Panthers minus 7, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's close. I wouldn't even do anything on that game, but I already got it down. Broncos minus 1 versus the Texans. You know what? I think people are riding the Texans bandwagon. I like Watson. I like O'Brien. I understand the Broncos. They saved. They were one of my wins last week. They stayed within 10. But I see a lot of people wanting the Texans in this one. J.J. Watt, Clowney, Watson, O'Brien. I'm going to go with the Broncos. I just think it's still a tough place to play. In Denver, I'm going to go with the Broncos. Now, we have the Seahawks minus 2. Is the music up?
The music is up. Listen here.
Can you turn it up a little bit? I love that. Good. All right, that's enough. Not one of my favorite.
Courtesy of our friends over at ESPN.
Seahawks minus 2. Sounds like somebody's charging. Seahawks minus 2 versus the Chargers. I'm going to go with the Seahawks. I know Rivers is having an MVP type year. He always does. This early in the season, even though I can't believe it's been 9 weeks already with the NFL. I'm going to go with Russell Wilson. Even though the Chargers have improved immensely, this is a signature game for Philip Rivers. He wins this game. I think then you could start raising your eyebrows about maybe the Chargers finally have turned the corner as far as their franchise is going, even though their quarterback is getting long in the tooth. He could play for another 5 years. So I'm going to take the Seahawks. My next one, this is a tough pick, Aldo.
Okay.
Saints minus 1.5 versus the Rams.
Oh, yeah.
Whew.
Minus 1.5.
Look, here's another thing. Can I go off on the quarterback controversy again with who's better than who?
Sure.
Drew Brees is better than Aaron Rodgers. Okay? Okay? Here. Drew Brees won a Super Bowl with the New Orleans Saints. Okay? Now, I understand he plays in a dome. But he also plays outdoors, and he's unbeatable at home. If you're going to give me a guy who is the best quarterback in the league outside of Tom Brady, Drew Brees is breaking records every week, and I hear the stupid media go, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback who ever lived. Aaron Rodgers is this. Aaron Rodgers is that. Aaron Rodgers is not as good as Drew Brees. Period. Wow. End of story. If you want stats, I'll supply them for you. All right? That being said, as Aldo put down the Saints. That being said, the Rams, do you know what they try to give me? This is what they try to do to the people, the public. This is why I'm so happy we have this show. Aldo said to me beforehand, I love doing the show. And I said, I do too. Because it's more fun when we're winning, but it's an entertaining show.
Even
if I'm wrong, I'm going to make some sense of this. Here's what I'm going to tell everybody. The quarterback for the Rams isn't bad. But you know what they're trying to give as an excuse?
Mm-hmm.
Why the Rams are going to lose this game? The Saints are the number one team against defending the rush. Okay, so you heard they're number one on defense against the run, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Just between me and you.
Okay. Nobody else is listening?
No. Well, I hope somebody's listening. At least my mother. I tried to get her.
My
what
mom
is this called? Mixed Cocktail LR? What's the name? What are we on?
Mixler. MixLR.com.
Okay. And Bears Bar Room on the podcast, which I always turn to. But I got to be honest with you. When you look at the two teams,
mm-hmm.
all right,
mm-hmm.
and you look at the Saints, and they say they're the number one team against the run. Let me ask you this. How many teams really can run against New Orleans? They get the lead, and you're going to have to you have to match pass for pass with Drew Brees. They don't run that much against the Saints.
Yep.
That's why they're number one.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm going to tell everybody. Gurley's going to have 100 yards against the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
And their quarterback's going to have a great game. And I don't care how tough it is in New Orleans. There's no way I can bet against this Rams team.
Wow.
None.
Wow.
I'm taking the Rams.
Okay. That's a big
In this game, plus the 1.5 against the Saints.
Okay.
I got the Patriots against the Packers. I gave everybody. And then I got, here's the one, the Cowboys. So we got them all, right?
I think we got them all, yeah. Except, of course, our Chicago Bears!
Let me go over the other picks first.
Okay.
because people are going, what the hell is he talking about? Anyway, Vikings minus 4.5 versus Lions, take the Lions. Top pick. Mm-hmm. Okay? Ravens minus 3 versus the Steelers. Okay?
Okay.
You got to take the Ravens. Dolphins minus 3 versus the Jets, take the Jets. Panthers minus 7 versus Bucks, take the Panthers. Redskins minus 1.5 versus the Falcons, take the Falcons. Broncos minus 1 versus the Texans, take the Broncos. Seahawks minus 2 versus the Chargers, take the Seahawks. Rams plus 1.5 over the Saints. Patriots with the best quarterback in the game going up against Aaron Rodgers minus 5.5. Cowboys minus 6.5 versus the Titans. And my four picks for Bears Barroom: Cowboys, Patriots, Falcons, and Lions. I'm winded.
I bet you are. Now, Johnny Santucci reminds us that the best game of the week is this Rams-Saints game, and he also says that the over-under is 60. I don't remember seeing an over-under for an NFL game at 60 before. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't think it will be that. I don't think I don't want to do totals, mm-hmm. but you know what? 60 is pathetic. It's a sad statement.
Wow.
It really is. And it tells you just what we were talking about with Nick Mullen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that a first-game guy puts up numbers that it took other quarterbacks that played 20 years ago maybe 2-3 years to do if they were good.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
It's just too easy now. Now, speaking of too easy, Bears minus 10 at Buffalo. I'm going to repeat this because I didn't have the Bears winning over 6.5 games. And everybody liked the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Or they supposedly like the Bills. They've had nothing but quarterback problems. I've been hearing about this Khalil Mack. He should have been sat. They didn't know what the record was going to be when they sat him, when they refused to sit him.
Mm-hmm.
They had to play him, and now they're pretending like they should have sat him a month ago. Are you kidding me? They wouldn't be where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
So, Vic Fangio, you're full of crap. Here's what I'm going to say. They're going to cover this spread.
What?
This is like 85 Bears stuff.
Wow.
Going to another team's ballpark and giving 10? There's something in the water, folks, and it's working for the Chicago Bears. I like the Bears minus 10.
Wow.
The Buffalo Bills.
That's a lot
of points on the road for a team. For a team that's this young.
Yes.
That's this young. They're giving that kind of point spread. First-year coach. Quarterback under a new system. Watch the defense play. And Akeem Hicks, here's what I'm going to say. I was driving home the other last week, and I heard Steve McMichael
mm-hmm.
say this. He's a one-half player if he's lucky. He's out of shape, and he's got to play harder. And he can't take two steps and stop. Now, this is Steve McMichael, who plays the same position,
mm-hmm.
who was one of the main leaders of that Chicago Bear team.
Wow.
Now, I don't even notice that kind of play. I don't notice Akeem Hicks. He does, because he watches his position.
Sure.
And that's what he said. Are you sort of surprised by that?
I am shocked by that. I am shocked. Akeem
Hicks. How many sacks does he have?
Well, but Akeem, he's not a sack guy. His position doesn't call for a lot of sacks. But you know what? I have said on Bears 100 Proof that Akeem Hicks does look a little out of shape this season. I started saying it in training camp. But for Steve McMichael to say that,
I'm going to tell everybody this. Last Sunday, when I was driving home, my uncle had an anniversary luncheon, you know, so I had to miss part of the Bear. I had to listen to the Bear pregame. So Fred Huebner, who I worked with, was on with McMichael. McMichael ate up Akeem Hicks for 5 minutes on ESPN 1000.
Wow.
Ate him alive, saying he's not getting the job done, period.
Wow, I don't
and that's his position.
That.
Maybe, you know, he's trying to rev up his engine. I don't notice. But I do know this, his stats aren't where people thought they'd be. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm going to look for that tape and listen to that. You said it was on ESPN, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It was on ESPN 1000 last Sunday. Steve McMichael. I mean, I was, you know, because I'm good or bad with the Akeem Hicks. I think he tries and everything else. But he said he's out of shape and he's got to keep rushing. He can't take two steps and stop because he's tired.
Okay, interesting.
So, I didn't make that up because I don't pay that much attention to Akeem Hicks.
No, I know. I mean, you know, there's so much going on the football field, but we've got guys at the bar room who really focus on the line of the scrimmage, and I think for the most part,
yeah, like Dr. Phil and those guys, maybe they could bring it up.
Yeah,
you know, I just thought I thought that was a good sidebar because in a day and age where you see coddling amongst the players,
yes.
Well, Steve McMichael's not one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think at times he makes himself, you know, at times when I hear Steve talk, you would think that he was Deacon Jones, you know. So he's got, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Sure, absolutely.
Good ball player, but he played with Hampton and Dent and those guys. And Ball also got in a fist fight with Jimbo Covert and got planted. So Steve was one of those guys that is a rebel in a way,
was on
New England, but he made himself a great player, a very good player, as a free agent from New England.
Mm-hmm.
Lit him up.
Without a doubt. All right. Now, speaking of coddling, I understand that you were on the Fantasy Football Goon Show with your buddy Jeff Schwartz, and I understand you said a few things about me that you were kind of coddling me or something. I don't know. I haven't listened to it yet. I've got it on my queue, and I listen to it later today.
Here's what I said. I finally got my stuff from Bear Girl. I got my Bear Barroom stocking cap, which I wear when I walk. Okay.
Nice.
Four. I got my Bear T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Bears Bar. I got my everything. The ball washer. We're gonna have a big deal about Bears ball washer. I got my Mike North Advantage T-shirt. I got all my paraphernalia.
Sweet.
I basically said, well, it's about the ninth week of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I said that means if Eldo had Babe Ruth playing it for him, he would have gotten him his Yankee uniform in July when they played two, three months already. Jordan wouldn't have gotten his Bulls uniform till January. Are you getting my point?
You ain't kidding. You got me down to the T, man. I am Mr. Tardy.
If Eldo was the producer of the Bozo show, Bob Bell would have walked out as a civilian for the first three shows before he got his outfit from Eldo.
Ashley,
you got to get it at the beginning. That's all I was trying to say. But I'm so thankful to Bear Girl, who finally took over the mantle.
Yes, she did. Thank God to you. Ashley Suter is in the chat.
It was all fun, Aldo. You know that. I never made an issue
of course.
Except 4 or 5 times.
Well, make sure you listen to that show, Fantasy Football Goon. It's on our podcast stream. And
can I say a couple things to you?
Please, say a couple
things. How much I love you, first of all.
Okay.
Can I tell you that, number one?
Yes, I love you. Because
I don't want you to take it. You're not sensitive.
Not at all.
Fangio says he wasn't involved in the Khalil Mack deal about whether he should sit or not. Why not?
Yeah, that's
weird. You're the defensive coordinator, mm-hmm. Okay? So that was upstairs. Nagy, Pace, and this is where you get interference. So I don't know what happened there. I just wanted to throw that out to everybody. And Gase, the coach of the Miami Dolphins, said this yesterday. When questioned about Tannehill, he said, listen, the people questioning me about Tannehill don't know the first thing about quarterbacking. He's playing that little, you never played the game or you never coached the game type of thing, okay? So he's taking some heat for saying that, but not much, you know? Here's what I would ask you, Aldo. And if you understand that, how a coach could take that attitude, we don't know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. But it's not a good thing to say. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Totally agree.
Okay. What happens if Don Shula criticizes him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, that would be tough. What happens if Marino criticizes him? What happens if Marino criticizes him or Mark Duper? What happens if Dolphins had actually played the game at a high level criticize him? Is he going to give Dan Marino the same answer? Should Dan Marino ever say it? I'm not saying he will, but if he questions Tannehill, can Gase give him that kind of comment? I don't think so.
No. I agree with you.
Try to stay riveted with, like, we're almost done. Maybe I took a wrong turn. Oh, would you like to hear a little Sneed?
Yes, go ahead.
You know who Michael Sneed is, don't you?
Yeah.
Aldo goes, I never knew Mike did this homework, this kind of homework.
The gossip columnist, right?
This is when you're on top, you got to keep plugging away.
Absolutely.
This guy had comments about Nagy and Trubisky in Michael Sneed's column,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Ditka says about Nagy, I must say I think he's fantastic, and he feels the Bears will advance to the playoffs. You got to win the division before you get the playoffs, and I believe the Bears are going to do it. I think Nagy is doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And then they asked him, how do you feel about Trubisky? And he says, look, I don't want to talk past the playoffs, but I have a Sunday morning routine at my home in Florida where I get nice and cozy on the couch with a cigar and watch the games. I am too old and the crowds are huge. This is what he says. But he said Trubisky called him a legend.
Wow.
And said, I thought he looked good. He says, Mitch is a good guy. Mm-hmm. I had a good run and it's over, but I really do appreciate what Mitch said. The Bears got a good defense, but I do believe the offense is really underrated. Mitch gets the ball to everybody. It's a great start. So even the coach is throwing some love, a little side stuff for the people that listen to the Bear Advantage and Aldo Gandhi and Mike North.
Absolutely. That is great. I'm glad you shared that with us. Now, I want to ask you about
Winburn.
Winburn. I got to ask you about that photograph that you put up with you and Walter Payton. Awesome picture. It looks like Walter is spoon feeding you. You're wearing a really cool suit and Walter.
All right.
Tell us about that picture. Why was it taken?
All right, that was, I saw your comments yesterday, and that picture always is a hit on Twitter for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm looking for that. But when it's Walter's birthday or when it's the anniversary of his death,
right.
It's one of those things 19 years ago, and there was other testimonials on Twitter yesterday and social media to Walter. We all miss him badly. I had a show that I did at Hollywood Casino one year where I had Wilt Chamberlain on, Walter Payton, all these great guys, all these great guests.
I remember that show.
Evander Holyfield,
yep,
people like that. And Walter Payton owned a restaurant in Aurora called Payton's Roundhouse. And I asked Walter, I go, Walter, I need you to do my show. It's at the at the theater, not the theater. They had a little bank. They had a banquet room that held 500, adjacent to the theater.
Okay,
and that's where we taped the show. And we used to bring the cameras in and everything else. A lot of great people. Harry Carey came out there. They took that long drive, and I appreciate it. Walter came over, and he was overwhelmed. The place was standing room only, 500 people. He said, "I didn't think people cared that much about me." I go, are you out of your mind? Because he was looking from the back. And it was one of the highlights of the night. So me and him became friends because we did the show continuously every Tuesday, the Walter Payton Show, with me and Jay. And Walter was one of the great guys. And one of the great, great guys breaking it down. And he criticized the Bears, which was great. But he also was loving of the Bears. We did a show from Basta Pasta, a restaurant in Chicago, which is now, I think, the Snuggery over in Edison Park.
Right.
And we did it on the second floor. It was a banquet room. Held 200-300 people. I had Carlton Fisk there, Hawk Harrelson, Harold Ramis, Daniel J. Travante, Eric Kramer, Brian Urlacher, Ernie, just great, great guys.
Awesome.
Dick Butkus. I had Jesse Rogers was the greatest producer in sports radio history. Also helped me and Bebe, who produced the show, and she had never produced shows before. We won 2 Emmys for those shows. So because of the guest list, because of the way the show was, video impressions, it was the days where you had the big cameras and you had to run cable from the ground floor up to the second floor.
Oh my gosh, awesome.
Well, after the show, or before the show, we would eat, if it was before the show, in the back room. If it was after the show, like Urlacher and them, the fans would file out. And then, like Urlacher, we'd sit at the table where the people had been sitting. So sometimes some people wanted to eat before the show, and some people wanted to eat after. So Walter comes in. I go, do you have any trouble getting here? He goes, no. And then me and Walter were tight. And Walter says to me, I'll tell you, I'm hungry. I go, we'll eat in the back room. So we're eating in the back room, and then BB comes in with a camera, whatever. And there's me and Walter. And she goes, I got to have you. Mike loves you. You love him. You guys are good buddies. Take a pose. And Walter's the one that put the thing up. He goes, let's do this. And that's how that picture happened. But you start thinking about the guy, you get in tears. Grown men cried when Walter died.
Absolutely.
Grown men cried all over the country, not just in the city of Chicago, but especially in the city of Chicago.
Absolutely. Talk about one of the greatest athletes of any sport. What I saw that guy do on the football field and what I saw him do when he was just warming up or knocked out of bounds, he would stand on his, he would get up on his hands and do handstands when he was tackled out of bounds and stuff. This guy was just a tremendous athlete. Oh, my goodness.
He and Jordan were buddies
Mm-hmm.
Jordan had the gift of tap, but they were all the hardest workers, both the hardest workers ever. Mm. I mean, there's a story I saw today. Jordan ran a 4.6 in high school, and he trained so hard that by the time he got into college, he ran a 4.3.
Wow.
That took three. I mean, so that's how Peyton was. And Walter, I'll never forget Walter asking me about, you know, we became such tight friends that mm-hmm. we would socialize every so often, you know, outside and mm-hmm. the boundaries of work. Mm-hmm. And he came up to me one time and he says, yeah, I got to ask you a question about Jared. And I brought this up to Jared on his show.
Mm-hmm.
And Jared couldn't believe that I knew the story. Jared was a soccer player and a football player. And Barrington, I think, had a better soccer team. And I guess what happened is he went to Walter and said he wanted to transfer
mm-hmm.
to Barrington from St. Viator's. I can't make this up.
Unbelievable, yeah.
This is like, and Walter goes to me, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. What would you do? Would you make your kids stick it out? Now he's asking me a personal question about
right.
his family.
Right.
Which really touched me, because I saw every game he ever played. I went to his first game when he had 8 yards, I mean 8 carries for no yards.
That's
me and my buddy O'Malley looked at each other and we said, we got this guy? And then all of a sudden everything broke loose, right?
Yeah.
But Jared wanted to transfer.
Mm-hmm.
And Walter asked me straight up, he goes, what would you do? I go, I don't have no kids, Walter. He goes, but I trust your judgment. I trust your judgment when it comes to sports and business. So I was touched because he was a businessman.
Absolutely.
And he knew me and B, and he knew that BB was – but he didn't ask B.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I says, I'd make him stay. I go, if he runs over there, that means if he gets a scholarship, something that's going to be on his resume.
Mm-hmm.
If he signs up for college, he could leave. He goes, that's what I told him already. I just wanted to see if you and I thought alike.
And that's what happened.
And Jarrett, when I went on the show, I told it right on CLTV, the show that he does.
Right.
And he admitted it. He goes, I didn't know anybody else knew that story. So that was cool.
How cool is that? That
was cool. That was cool because the guy trusted me enough. And I never said a word about it, really.
Mm-hmm.
Too much. I didn't. But I thought that. And another time, I'll never forget this. This was sort of weird. It was the last year he was doing, not the last year, the year before, we did the show, me and Jiggs, the last show. If you look at that clip, you see Jiggs in the clip of Walter announcing that he's got to leave and he's got a life-threatening illness.
Right.
But BB and I got him. He had gotten me a cigar box, a big one, a nice one,
mm-hmm.
the year before. So BB and I got him a pen and pencil set, mm-hmm. a pen set, you know,
sure.
with the nice, you know, where you put the pen in and said WP. He got up there in the middle of the show and walked over to BB's table at Carlucci's and gave her a kiss right there in the middle of the show. And then he came on. He goes, no, I don't get many gifts. I found that astounding.
Yeah.
He said, I don't get many gifts.
Wow.
I said, he goes, I just want to kiss your wife. I was a wonderful human for me on days like yesterday. Days like yesterday.
Well, I got to tell you, this is very emotional. I'm one of those guys that welled up and teared up when Walter passed away. And so listen to that story. And
I get a call from Jeff Schwartz, 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, I had noticed for about 4 weeks that Walter looked skinny.
Yeah.
And I'm talking, he started wearing sunglasses
mm-hmm.
to the show. And there had been some cracks already. Mark Giangreco,
oh.
who really Walter saved his ass. Giangreco, hey, Gandhi, eat a sandwich. Mark Giangreco's a putz, and he knows he's a putz. He's had his ass saved a couple of times by influential people in town, but Walter could have hung him out to dry
yep.
for that stupid comment
mm-hmm.
because people were starting to wonder what was wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
So to make that comment, have a sandwich, told me, like I've known about Giangreco for years, he doesn't have the pulse of the city. He never did.
Mm.
He's a 3-minute sportscaster, period. So, I noticed when I looked at Walter, his eyelids from the side, because we sat next to each other,
mm-hmm.
were gold, were mm-hmm. yellow. His whites. Every so often he'd look at me, and as he looked, I could see. So, Schwartz calls me at 8 o'clock in the morning, who was running the score promos. He goes, there's going to be a press conference. I go, for what? He goes, on your show. Everybody's coming. I go, for what? He goes, Walter's got an illness that's life-threatening. So I'm going, you're kidding. I go, well, why are they coming? The other people. He goes, I go, why are we letting them in? Because they don't do us any favors.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, because Walter wanted it that way. And I said, fine. Bring them in. So everybody came, all the TV stations and radio stations. And Walter sat there between me and Jiggets.
Mm-hmm.
And we started the show. And Jiggs says to him, and I never, you know, Jiggs welled up. I welled up. Jiggs says to him, oh, Walter, we understand you want to make an announcement. And that's when he told everybody.
Oh, it was
brutal.
It was equivalent to when Magic Johnson made the announcement that he was HIV positive. It was one of those moments for Chicago Bears fans where you know where you were and how you heard about that news, because it was so shocking. This guy, Walter Payton, such a phenomenal athlete, in such great shape, and to hear and understand that he was facing this life-threatening illness, and the emotional way in which he shared that with the public, I got chills right now just recalling.
He had, look, he played, he was brave to do it. He knew he was gone.
Mm.
He knew it. He knew it. And Matt Sui handled everything.
Yes.
And, you know, you never heard a bad thing. Matt Sui and Walter were tight. Walter Payton's one of the greatest human beings I ever met, period. Mm. End of story. I mean, that's just it. And I love the guy. And I love the guy. And Gale Sayers and him, you know, Gale Sayers was very resentful towards Walter.
I didn't
because
know that.
Gale sort of disappeared once Walter came around.
Right.
And Gale was still around. And Gale only had the 6-year, 7-year career.
Mm-hmm.
And Gale, I did the show with Gale after Walter. In other words, once Walter passed on, the Score came up to me
mm-hmm.
and said, who you want to do the show with next year or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And McMahon was suggested. And I said, you know what? At that time, Jimmy's great now with public speaking. At that time, he wasn't on the radio. I had heard his radio shows on other show stations. And I said, why not Gale Sayers?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of the guys saying, well, he's not a real good talker. And Gale wasn't a real good talker. But I said, you know what? It's Gale Sayers, and believe me, he can hold a conversation. And it worked out fine. But that's how Gale came back into the spotlight.
Mm.
I mean, I used to joke with Gale. People thought you were dead. And he knew it. And he knew it. And so when Walter passed on, there was that rivalry. There's no doubt. But Gale became relevant again in a way at Walter's expense, and I don't think Gale wanted that either, because Gale did appreciate what Walter Payton did.
You know, Shane, our smartest man, has put up a link in the chat room to YouTube where they have the video of Payton making the announcement and you talking on that video. I will put it up on our website, bearsbarroom.com, along with the podcast link to this show. Very, very emotional.
And as usual, you know, he ended up loving BB. That always happens to me. They like me, but once they meet BB, well, that's the end.
How true is that? I
love BB for that. No doubt. And that's what's going to be in the movie, too, her influence in many things.
Yeah.
People don't even talk about my wife. She was one of the pioneers in sports radio. She was hosting on the Score in 92. And believe me when I tell you this. Any female anchor out there, if they ever want to host a show with their favorite guy, I'll host one with BB and we'll wipe them off the map. She knows her sports, but
because
she grew up with, you know, she grew along with me. It's been a long, you know, 25-year, well, 41-year, but 44-year total.
Mm.
And she was a pioneer, but as usual, we never had trouble getting guests once they heard about how the show was produced and how we handled things. We gave them gifts. They got clothing and everything else. And Tino Antonacci at Pasta was fantastic. It was a great restaurant. We had Pete Rose there the week after the thing, but Walter was a surefire hit.
People in the chat room want BB to host the show with you and kick me out.
You know what? We could bring BB on next week for about 5 minutes.
Oh, that would be great.
Then she'll get... Don't you start hogging my action. I got to get her out of there.
Well, okay, BB's
no,
going to
No, I'm just kidding. You know, we'll bring her. You know what? She could tell you about, look, Will Chamberlain loved her.
Oh, what, wasn't,
I mean, liked
wasn't,
her.
Wasn't Wilt the very first guest you had, if I remember correctly?
Well, he wasn't the first guest, but he was the best guest, I think, outside of, you know, when we're talking about national guests.
Right.
I had Holy, they all loved Bebe. I mean, Wilt loved her, class lady, you know, she just brings a little bit, she brings so much class. I mean, you got to remember, I was despised by a lot of people in town. But when they met Bebe, you never hear anybody, one guy said something negative about Bebe, and that's fine, she's in the public eye, but that's only because of hatred for me. And I know who that guy was, and you just consider the source and you move on.
Where is he buried now?
No, he's not.
Where did you put the body?
He's got to work. He works for 10 cents on the dollar.
Listen,
that's his punishment.
I wanted to get your, before we say goodnight here, I wanted to get your opinion on what's going on with the Chicago Bulls, because they gave up to the Golden State Warriors almost 100 points in the first half of a basketball game. That, to me, was jaw-dropping and so embarrassing. I wanted to get your take on what's going on with the Chicago Bulls.
I saw they had 92 points in the first half. I didn't. I watched a part of the game, and they started going off. Fred Hoiberg is the worst coach in the National Basketball Association. There's no question in my mind. They hired him after he lost in the first round to UAB. I keep hearing how offensive-minded he is. Yeah, but what about defense? And what about the fact that you let Klay Thompson take 3-point shots at will? You had a guy score 36 points on you in the first half. He could have scored 80 that night. They could have scored 200 if they didn't rest their starters. And then the next night they play Denver and they lose by one. They go, hey, the Bulls showed up and played tough. That's how far Bulls basketball has fallen under the ownership of the out-of-touch Jerry Reinsdorf and his really dim-witted son, Michael. Basically, they have no clue how to run a franchise. Jordan brought him success. Phil Jackson, I think we found out about Phil Jackson with the New York Knicks when he got hired. But I think we also found out about Phil Jackson and what would have happened. And I know that once Jordan was there for a while, you know, they almost won without Jordan, but they didn't. But if Jordan would have left Phil Jackson after his first year with Cleveland or second year with Chicago, like LeBron left, he would have been fired like Tyronn Lue eventually. He would have never become the coach that he became. And, you know, so you see this nonsense with Fred Hoiberg. You see John Pax and Agar Foreman who, you know, I'm tired of saying I like Pax. I do like Pax. You should be fired. They should both be fired. Reinsdorf, I'd like to see him sell the team, to be honest with you, to somebody who wants to win and doesn't play payroll games. I mean, when you look at, you know, the nonsense, Jimmy Butler, 35 points the other night. Tom Thibodeau, even Derrick Rose, 50 points 7 years later. Taj Gibson. I think that team would challenge for the East right now, but they decided, they never thought, I guess, LeBron was going to leave. How are they doing now?
Right. Oh, my gosh.
You think I was too strong?
No, not at all. Everybody loves it in the chat room.
Nobody puts heat on Reinsdorf, especially if they work for Reinsdorf-owned TV stations.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'll say.
Yep.
When was the last time you heard anybody on any Bulls show say Fred Hoiberg should be fired?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Huh?
Well,
That's why nobody trusts the mainstream media in anything.
That's why we're here.
That's right.
That's
well,
right.
How do you think podcasting around the world, country has gone, become so much stronger?
Because
the radio stations are giving the people what they don't want.
Exactly.
Period.
Exactly.
Period. And the same for TV. Period. If I hear, here, can I talk politics for once?
Go ahead.
Some guts.
Okay.
No, have some guts. I don't care what station you play. I don't care what station you work for, liberal or conservative. Quit telling me every race is a toss-up. Have some balls. Have some balls. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Quit,
I know.
Fixing polls on the conservative stations and on the other stations to try to make people think that every race is a toss-up. It's not going to happen that way. I'm just telling everybody right now. I don't know who's going to win. I got an idea. But it's not going to happen that way. And I think that these mainstream stations, intentionally skew the polls. And we've had proof of that over the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Well, they're going, that's a way of teasing the audience to make them tune in Tuesday.
That's why I love sports, Aldo, because you know what? It's there in black and white. Because if I hear one more person say, well, the poll says there's going to be a blue wave. Well, this poll says there's going to be a red wave. Make a prediction. I handicap for a living. I called the presidential race. I was one of 12 in this whole country in 2016. And I know what's going to happen this time. Bottom line is, just make a call. That's what you do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Quit depending on a sampling of 500 people. And I believe there's a good chance it could go either way. But make a call. Don't you have more respect for people like that instead of the wishy-washy crap you see now in sports and in politics or entertainment?
Just about anything in life, you know? I don't want wishy-washy in my life. Get
it's
out
like
of here
people are afraid to say the Republicans aren't going to win, or people are afraid to say the Democrats are going to win. I got to hear every race is a toss-up? It ain't going to end up that way, folks. That's all I'm telling you. And I'm sure, you know, just have some guts and make some calls. Oh, Missouri's too close to call. This state's too close to call. New Jersey's too close to call. Why am I watching you?
I love it. All right.
That's my bare room. Hey, if I'm going to go down, I'm going down with an opinion.
Of course you are.
I didn't mean to bring up the Lord's name in vain. But he understands.
He totally gets it. All right.
Oh, he gets it. He talked to me last night.
Oh, really?
You know what he told me?
No, what did he tell you?
You know what he told me?
What did he say?
I told you to take that team last week. I thought it was just a dream.
Well, speaking of your
picks.
Can I
tell you something?
Go ahead.
If Jesus appeared in my room with the lights flowing,
uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
You know, like they do, like if Adam, you know, and Mary appeared in the sky, I'd have a stroke. So it wouldn't matter. Nobody would know what happened anyway.
Oh, we gotta set up some hidden cameras in your home for that, when that big moment comes. I want to see how that happens.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Oh, my gosh. Hey, Mike,
I'm having the time of my life.
Are you going straight upstairs, or is there going to be some negotiations with you and the higher power about you possibly going upstairs or going downstairs? How's that going to play out?
All my friends are probably downstairs.
I'll meet you down there.
No, my wife, I want to be where Beep. If we're going to fly up, you think you fly up?
Absolutely.
And if you fly up, do you go from a standing position, or do you fly like you're on a runway? You take a running start.
You go head first all the time.
Listen, if I appear anywhere after I die, I'll be shocked and surprised, but happy. Thank you.
This is our closing music. It goes like this.
Yeah, everybody's saying thanks, Mike, for the final words. If we appear anywhere, we'll be happy. Aldo, I love you, brother.
I love you, too. And just to go over your picks again, it's the Detroit Lions +4.5 over the Vikings. It is the Falcons +1.5 over the Redskins. It is the Patriots over the Packers. The Patriots are giving away 5.5. And your play of the week, pow, is the Cowboys -6.5 over the
Tennessee
Titans.
I'm really scared about the Patriots pick. You know why?
Why? Why?
Because Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football.
I love it.
See you, buddy.
Take care, my man. Make sure you listen to the Barfly Tailgate Show, our pregame show. It is on Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Take care, everybody.